This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Mitchell Benson, who's the Director of Communications in the Office of the California State Treasurer, Phil Angelides. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing good here in Los Angeles. 2 days ago, I guess, or maybe it was, yes, 2 days ago, the people of California approved Proposition 71. They authorized the state to borrow on their behalf and in their name $3 billion. I wanted to talk to you about some of the details about how that's going to take place.
Right. There's actually quite a process. It'll take a while before these bonds ever get to market. And just to give you a little bit of background on how that will happen. First of all, the Secretary of State must certify the act, and this is a routine approach. It probably won't be certified officially until probably December 10th or 11th or so, around that time.
Okay.
The next thing, the Bond Act actually did was establish something called the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine.
Right.
And that will provide the funding for stem cell research.
Okay.
And the Bond Act also established an independent citizens oversight committee that will govern the institute.
So essentially it's going to be this, you should tell me which one, the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee or the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, in whose name these bonds are going to be sold?
Right, right. The committee will, in effect, operate the California Institute.
Okay.
But the California Institute will be the entity that will actually operate the program.
Okay.
And the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee will be a 29-member committee that oversees the program.
Okay. How is that committee going to be formed?
It's a 29-member committee, and different people have different appointments. For example, the treasurer has 5 appointments to the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, just to give an idea of how it'll be organized.
Right.
The treasurer needs to appoint 1 person from a California university, 1 person from a California nonprofit academic and research institution that's not part of the University of California, 1 person from a California life science commercial entity.
Right.
The treasurer then must also appoint 1 person from a disease group, type 1 diabetes, and another person from the disease group of heart disease.
So rushing ahead here, do different appointers have the responsibility for appointing different disease groups?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I can tell you that the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the controller also get to make the same number of appointments from the same category. So, yes, I guess that's correct.
The governor...
But in terms of the disease groups, as you pointed out, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the controller get to make 2 appointments each, but from different disease groups.
Do they get to make those 3... are each of those people going to make 5 appointments?
That's correct.
The governor, the lieutenant governor, the controller, and the treasurer?
That's correct.
And each of them gets to make 1 UC appointment, 1 non-UC nonprofit,
that's
1
correct.
Life science technology company, and 2 diseases, but not necessarily the same 2 diseases for each. The diseases are divvied up amongst the officials.
That's correct. And the treasurer will nominate 1 person as the chairperson of the committee and 1 person as the vice chairperson.
So the treasurer gets 7 appointments.
The chairperson, the vice chairperson.
Designates some of their appointments.
Yeah, will be selected from the other appointments. Right?
Okay, and who's responsible for the other 9? We got 4 officials getting 5 each. That comes to 20 officials, 20 appointments. You know the other 9 are?
I apologize. I don't know.
Does the legislature have any say in this?
I don't know.
All right.
I apologize.
Okay.
The other 9 appointments.
Okay. So can these appointments be made right away, or do you have to wait until the measure is certified by the Secretary of State in December?
Well, I would think you'd wait until the measure is certified.
Okay. Are any discussions getting underway now are people going to be lobbying for these positions, or do the appointers have lists already, or what do you know about that?
I'm assuming because of the popularity of this that there will be people. I can't tell you if anyone has contacted the treasurer's office yet, but I would bet that with the high amount of interest in this matter that there will be numerous people contacting the treasurer, the governor, lieutenant governor, the controller, expressing interest in being a part of this committee.
Okay. So after this, so the first step is for the Secretary of State to certify the measure. That will that automatically establish the Institute for Regenerative Medicine and the Citizens Advisory Committee, or does something else have to be done?
No, because the measure in itself establishes once it is certified, then that sort of starts the clock rolling on these folks actually setting up office.
So once it's been certified by the Secretary of State, it becomes law. It becomes a constitution, a part of the Constitution.
That's correct.
And
that's
is, and there's this essentially enabling legislation within it as well.
Right.
That sets these things up.
Exactly.
Okay. After that happens around the 10th of December, then what? And then the appointments are made. And is there a time frame for that?
Well, not exactly. We anticipate that it'll take some time for the Institute to organize itself, prepare its guidelines, accept and review applications, and make the grants. And that all that needs to take place before any bonds are sold.
They have to have their budget in place, essentially.
Yes, yes.
And how many bonds will be issued, or what's the timetable? You're not going to issue $3 billion at once.
No. The way bonds typically work is they're sold as the money is needed. For example, money can be made available to if the institute were to set up and to accept a grant application.
Right.
There is an entity of the treasurer's office called the pooled money investment account.
Pooled money investment account.
Right, which would money would be made available from a pooled money investment account on sort of a loan basis to fund a grant.
In other words, that money, where did that money come from?
It's literally the cash on hand of money that is. That the state invests on behalf of the state and local governments.
Oh, so it's not like buying its own bonds, sort of, is it?
No, it's like a money account
that's
invested on a daily basis.
Right.
To
it's like a money market account.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, and then that money would go to the Institute for Regenerative Medicine.
Right. Right. And
okay.
then as the money is needed.
Right.
Then the state sells. Then the state would sell bonds as the money is needed. You know, I think there's a misconception.
Clear it up.
About the way bonds are sold. When the state sells general obligation bonds on a specific date, it's typically portions of many different bond measures off of a ballot. So
right.
It might be say the state sells $5 billion in GO bonds. Just picking a number out of. Off the top of my head.
Right.
Maybe $1 billion of that could be parks bonds, and $1 billion of that could be water bonds, and $1 billion of that could be stem cell bonds. So what they do is they find out how much money is needed for all the different projects and all the different programs, and then they sell bonds as the money is needed, as opposed to just, you know, they're not going to build up a $3 billion, they're not going to amass $3 billion in cash and then
right.
wait for the applications to come in.
Okay.
The money comes as it's needed, as opposed to building up the money ahead of time.
Is that done on a regular basis?
That's the way, for all bonds, yes.
So what you're saying is that is there going to be a pure play in stem cell bonds, or will it be aggregated with other state bonds?
I believe it'll be aggregated with other state bonds.
Okay.
Very likely. For example, we have a spring. The state expects that, the Treasurer's Office expects that there'll be a spring GO, general obligation bond sale.
Right.
That will be an aggregate of different interests and programs.
So essentially that will be the first time stem cell bonds as such will be on the market.
It's not the first time necessarily that the stem cell bonds would be on the market. It's the first time that the stem cell bonds potentially could be on the market.
Right.
And it's very possible that the stem cell bonds won't go on the market till later in
right.
2005.
In other words, it'll take a while to ramp up. As they start putting the spending the money, they'll be getting it from the pooled investment
exactly.
fund, and you may not decide till June or July that you need to market the bonds and the stem cell bonds,
right,
and then you'll
right.
put that into the fall. How many of those sales are done a year, typically?
How many GO bond sales are done a year?
Right, typically.
Four or five,
okay.
And just so you know, this pooled money account that I was telling you about, the pooled money investment account,
right.
It's a $50-plus billion surplus cash account. So
there's $50 billion in it right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so there's a fair amount of money in there to help.
$3 billion wouldn't be petty change. You could
right.
essentially write, you could spend it all there and then do the bonds later.
The money often will come from the pooled money investment account, and then the bonds are sold to repay the pooled money investment account.
I got it, okay. How do interest rate fluctuations affect the timing in general of these offerings, and how, if at all, will it affect the offering of these stem cell bonds?
I just think that it's kind of early in the process right now
right.
to examine what interest rates are going to look like. I can tell you that the public finance staff here isn't focused on that at this point. There's so much preliminary work that needs to be done that it's just something that is is down the road.
Okay. Now, when the figure was bandied about that it's going to cost $6 billion to pay back the $3 billion debt, was your office involved in calculating that?
I believe that was the legislative analyst's office that did the estimate of what the cost of the what the overall, you know, the principal and interest cost of
right.
the bonds would be. The legislative analyst traditionally does a fiscal analysis of any measures that are on the ballot.
Was that, as far as your office knows, a reasonable projection?
I don't know if we opined on the reasonableness or lack of reasonableness of that projection or not.
Okay. How does it seem to you now, given the rates that are available and or that need to be paid?
Again, it's a question that can't be answered because the bonds aren't being sold now.
Right.
They're not going to be sold next week.
Right.
It makes more sense to focus on how reasonable or unreasonable that number is when we get closer to actually selling bonds for the stem cell initiative.
Okay, now as I understand it, interest rates are at 40-year lows right now. So I assume that these calculations were made based on those rates. If there's a significant increase in interest rates over the next 10 years, I guess, or any time within the next 10 years, how seriously would that affect the total cost of paying off those loans?
Well, again, I want to come back to the main focus of this office,
right.
which is to sell bonds and not to prognosticate on what interest rates are going to be
right.
years from now, or especially not 7 years from now.
Right.
So, obviously, if interest rates go up, then the costs to the taxpayers will increase.
Okay.
But this office is not in a position at this point to say that interest rates are going to be going up or going to be going down or going to stay stagnant. This office is responsible for preparing bonds for sale when the money is needed and the bonds are ready to be sold.
Okay.
Again, getting back
right.
to stem cell, that's not the situation we're in right now.
Okay. Now, given the overall debt that California has now, how appreciably will this increase it as a sort of a percentage function?
Well, again, it's hard to say because the debt ratio is sort of calculated on a year-to-year basis.
Right.
And so no one in this office is in a position to predict in what size chunks these stem cell bonds are going to be sold.
Okay. So overall, though, are you optimistic? In other words, as soon as you put these bonds out on the market, are they going to be snapped up, or is there going to, or likely people aren't going to be too eager to do that? What in general could you say about the reception that you expect the offerings that include these stem cell bonds to have?
Well,
is there more prognostication?
Yes and no. The point is that people who buy bonds are people who are buying it as an investment.
Right.
So I really think that whether these bonds sell well or don't sell well is dependent upon what the market looks like at the time and what these bonds are priced at the time. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that there might be some people who say, and I would guess it would be a small minority who say, "Oh, I'm going to buy these bonds because they're stem cell research bonds." But the large majority of people are buying bonds, whether they're institutional investors or wealthy individuals. They're buying bonds as an investment, and they're going to buy those bonds or not buy them. They're going to base their decision on whether it seems like a good investment at the time, which unfortunately gets to the other question you're asking, which is, well, whether it's a good investment depends upon the interest rate, which is something we can't predict. I will point out one thing, getting back to your question about what kind of load will this be on the state's outstanding bonds.
Right.
This particular bond act, the Stem Cell Research Bond Act, limits the amount of bonds that can be sold to $350 million per year.
Okay.
So that's...
And what percentage is that of the outstanding state debt now?
The outstanding state debt now is
bonded debt.
About $32 billion.
Okay.
So what is that?
That's about a tenth of that.
A tenth of yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are there particular Wall Street companies or other companies in other places that you use or work with who will be in charge of actually handling the paperwork and selling these bonds?
Well. If you'd go to our website,
right.
you'd see that the state treasurer's office works off of a pool,
right.
if you will, of investment bankers, and they have to apply,
right.
and you will see on the list there the folks that who the folks, the businesses that are qualified,
right.
Pre-qualified. This may be a situation where there's an additional request for qualifications, but probably not.
So, in other words, are there going to be? Is there a kind of a bidding process between you and these investment bankers?
Well, I was just getting to that.
Okay.
Which is that the general obligation bonds will be sold in a competitive approach.
So, right.
That means that the potential underwriters will bid.
Right.
To see who will get to sell the bonds.
And then you'll decide based on what do you think's best in the best interest of California. Okay, one final question. I don't know whether this is too important or whether this is going to be the first and last that's heard of it. There was a lot of opposition to Prop 71 on moral and ethical and religious grounds. And I'm wondering whether you've considered the possibility that some of those people who opposed it on those grounds are going to launch campaigns to say that these are immoral bonds and people shouldn't buy them.
I really don't think that that's, again, getting back to the earlier conversation about the misconception that stem cell bonds are going to be sort of put out on the market by themselves as a standalone package. Again, they will not.
Oh, no, but absolutely. If they're put into another package, the people would say, well, don't buy the whole package.
Well, then you'll have people voting against, then you'll have people recommending that investors don't help the state buy parkland, don't help the state create devices to create clean drinking water.
Sure.
To build bridges, to repair roads.
Well, maybe.
To retrofit schools. So I really think that that's, that's something that, again, that this office isn't focused on right now. This office is focused on putting the best bond packages together it can to get the best price for the taxpayers of California, and again, all GO bonds are the same to investors. It's the same credit. It's whether it's a good investment or not.
Okay, one last question. As I'm pretty sure that the provisions of Proposition 71 included elimination of a lot of the conflict of interest rules that the state already uses. Is it going to come to your office at any point, or is there no point in it coming to any office to argue that the people from the University of California, the private universities, the life science companies have vested financial interests in the allocation of the money that's going to be raised by these bonds? And is there any place that people will be able to complain about that if they want to?
I don't know exactly how to answer that question. All I can tell you is that as we talked about at the outset of this interview, it's obviously going to be a very broad-based committee.
Right.
Yes, there'll be a representative from University of California, but there'll also be a representative from from research and academia that's not part of the UC. And there'll also be a representative from commercial entities. There'll also be representative of disease groups who don't have a particular commercial bent, and there'll be a large number of disease groups represented. So,
but specifically, if the vice president for government affairs of Geron Corporation or Chiron Corporation is appointed, and a proposal comes to the Institute for Regenerative Medicine from Chiron or Geron and says we'd like $500,000 to study this nerve cells, stem cells. Will members of these of the Citizens Board or the Institute of Regenerative Medicine be able to approve the expenditure of money that essentially goes to their own company and comes back to them in their salary?
I'll have to be honest and say I don't really know what the conflict of interest guidelines are. I think that's going to be all part of the establishment and the organization of the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee.
And so it'll be the responsibility of the Independent Oversight Committee, Citizens Oversight Committee, to see to it that whatever the rules are about conflict of interest, that they're enforced.
I would believe so.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for leading us through some of the murky areas of the bond market here. And is there any thinking going on or anything that you want to say about the sort of more totalistic view here about what kind of impact these expenditures are going to have as investments California economy?
I think that's a question better addressed to folks in the, economists and folks in the investment community.
But okay.
Again, this office's job is not to necessarily to guess how much better off the economy will be because of this, but just to try to sell bonds at the lowest possible cost for the taxpayers of California.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining these aspects of this proposition to us.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.